So what is it that am I going to do beyond this 9 to 5? And of course, I'm always reminded here, my wife is working so hard, so purposeful for the children, using creativity, using photography. And I just feel so inspired to jump ship and join her, which we eventually did, of course, over the years.
Welcome to the Connect to Marriage podcast. I'm Delia and I'm your host for this episode. In each episode of the Connect to podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, conflict, and so much more. We hope that you will keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper, stronger in your marriage. If you are new to us, do subscribe to our Connect to podcast on our podcast platform, and we believe that you'll discover interesting topics and helpful conversations along the way. We all bring our individual dreams into marriage, what we hope to build with our spouse, and the kind of life that we hope to create together. Well, dreams aren't just big milestones like buying a home, starting a family, but they are small, ongoing conversations in the everyday routines of married life. Today, we are joined by a couple who have navigated both the individual dreams that they brought into their marriage and the shared dreams that they have grown and developed along the way. They are the founders of Gosh Kids Singapore, Matthew Tan and Gladys So. Welcome to the Connect 2 podcast, Matthew and Gladys.
Hello.
I am so happy to see you. And would you like to introduce yourselves to our listeners?
Hi, my name is Matthew. I am 35 years old. I have a child. My wife and I, Gladys, we run Gosh Kids Singapore.
Yes, and I'm Gladys.
Wow. Woo-hoo.
How many years have you been married and how old is your child?
My gosh, I need to count this.
We're
married 2017, so nine years this year?
Yes.
Yeah, 9 years this year.
And Max, our son, is 5 years old.
Wow,
this year.
Yes. Exciting. And how old is Gosh Kids?
Gosh Kid is officially 3.5 years old, around 3-ish years old.
Yeah. So that's a lot of things going on for the both of you in the course of 9 years of marriage.
Yep.
And prior to getting married, tell us more about your friendship and how long you've dated as you discovered your lives being formed together.
We went to the same church, went to the same youth group, grew up together, and we started dating when we were 21 years old, just before you flew off to Chiang Mai to become a missionary.
Yeah.
So we were long distance for a while. But yeah, we dated for like 5-6 years before we got married in 2017.
Yep. During our dating years, I think one thing that brought us together was photography. So I think during our dating sessions, we would do photography together. And I think what brought us together was he was very interested in photography then. And he was asking me a lot of questions about photography. And so I taught him photography. And yeah, I think slowly that developed and it became what it is today for us and what we have for Gosh Kids.
Really lovely. It actually brings back memories of my own dating years when my husband and I also went for photography outing.
Wow.
It's the other way around. Like, it was my husband, I mean my then boyfriend, teaching me how to use the DSLR. Yeah. And then after that, we also had shared video projects for our friends' weddings and stuff like that. Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, you guys started off as friends. And I believe that before even deciding to explore a dating relationship, there might have been opportunities to observe shared passions. Tell us more, you know, what do you observe in each other and what were the passions that really drew you together?
I guess the passion within us was creativity. That was something that both of us were very aligned in. And I think photography was really the thing that binded us together in our relationship. But I think both of us had a very similar dream of having kids. You know, we love children and we always dreamt of having a big family. So for me personally, starting a family and having lots of children, and for me, working with kids was also a strong desire that I had. But more so, I think something that was not aligned when we saw each other in our dating years was that I had a strong desire to be a missionary even after I got married. So I think for Matthew, he didn't quite see that eye to eye with me.
Yeah, so but one thing that I also saw in Gladys at that time before we got married was her very, very strong passion for children.
Yeah.
At that time, I wasn't really in like the children's ministry. I didn't really work with children then. But what really drew me to her was her love for children, lah. So, and that kind of passion was, I've not seen it before. I've not felt it that way. And I knew something was a bit different from her. And of course, she was from a creative background. And for me, I was more into sports and photography. So those were my passions even before I got married. And when we just got married, that was what I was actually just focusing on. How to become a better rugby player, how to take better photos, even in my own ministry in church. And how to just lead a successful life, like, which were then defined by just excelling well in those three areas that I just mentioned. So as we got married, I think that's where I saw like a different side, that maybe that is something that I could pursue too, you know, because I definitely want to be on the same ride with my wife, right? I don't want to be going in a different direction. But then like what Gladys said about the missions part, I think that was something that I still struggled to understand or even bring myself to believe, even though I came from a missions church. And Gladys being a missionary back in 2012, at 21 years old, that was something I needed to change in my life. I already see it from her point of view. So that's where we were at that time.
I think I really have a strong desire to see the children being reached out to in the different communities. I think specifically because I went to Chiang Mai, Thailand, and my project then was really to reach out to the children in the villages. I saw how my heart was really in there and how I felt like there was a deep connection. I think then and then I just felt like I discovered my purpose in life, and it was something that I want to do further on in my life.
Yeah, and I hear Matthew, you shared that when Gladys went overseas, y'all did like a long distance relationship. And I'm just imagining that when y'all were living in two different places, and these were things that was shaping up in Gladys's heart and her own pursuits for a possible future. What was that process like for you, Matthew?
Yeah, so I think for Gladys going overseas to such experiences with the local communities, it was something that was very new to me. I didn't really understand why someone needs to do that. But as I saw her heart being poured out to the local villagers and the children that she worked with, it kind of like sparked something new in me. Like, maybe this is something that I should also be focusing on instead of my own personal dreams or things that I want to achieve. But really, what's bigger out there? What kind of impact can we do to not just my own life, but to the others around me? And so that really inspired me to relook at this kind of overseas experiences. And maybe I could also do that one day with Gladys.
Gladys, was that one of the things that influenced or shaped your response to Matthew when y'all were starting to consider intentional steps towards marriage?
A lifetime of love and romance requires intentional effort and attention. Yet in times of busyness and with overwhelming priorities to tend to, our marriages can often take a back seat. No matter the state of your relationship today, we want to help you and your spouse thrive. Check out Connect 2, featuring specially created experiences and resources, our favorite selection of articles, top hits on our podcast, date ideas, conversation starters, and more to address the issues that are keeping you and your spouse apart, and to help you rekindle the joy of pursuing one another. Visit www.family.org.sg/connect2 today.
Yeah, for sure. I think then, you know, as a young girl, like, you know, you have a list of things that you want your husband to be like. I think the desire to go on these overseas social impact projects was one of them. And when Matthew shared with me that, you know, it's like, hey, why do you have to do this? Then, of course, I felt like I had to rethink the decision again. We pray. And then I think that was something that assured us in our journey in marriage. Eventually, there was something that we came together in alignment with.
Yeah, that's really encouraging, because it does sound like having an alignment in your hopes and your dreams for the future is very important as a couple, and it starts you off at the same page as you dream together as a couple. So as you stepped into marriage, I'm curious to know, what were the milestones or stepping stones in your life that led you to even consider setting up Gosh Kids?
Earlier on, we talked about how our dreams were a big part of our lives. I think I need to share that as we progress into a new status as a couple, I find that my dreams are no longer just mine, but it has evolved into something that's a bit bigger and more collective. And so my dreams join in with Gladys's dreams. And so early on, she shared about how children are a big part of her life, her purpose, and mentoring them and empowering them is her sole mission. And so as we got married, I really caught on to that kind of passion, and I find myself changing my own dreams, or maybe not even change, maybe it's just evolving into something that's more purposeful and beyond just the self. And I realized that I was also changing along the way.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing for me. We lived life together and we talked about what we want for the future. And, you know, Gosh Kids eventually came along. Just for some context, Gosh Kids was actually started first by Gladys back in 2019. At that time, I was doing a day job elsewhere. Not very purposeful from that matter. And I knew that in this day job, it wasn't where I was going to be forever. So what is it that am I going to do beyond this 9 to 5? And of course, I'm always reminded, here my wife is working so hard, so purposeful for the children, using creativity, using photography. And I just feel so inspired to jump ship and join her, which we eventually did, of course, over the years.
I think there was also curiosity in him to find out, why is this thing driving me so much? And why is it keeping me going, even though it doesn't make sense, you know? So I think that was the curiosity and the wondering for him to jump on this unconventional route. I think we started to see bigger dreams within this cohesion that we're doing. And also because of our faith, we believe that, you know, whatever they were doing, there's always a bigger purpose. Yeah, and I think that is the main factor that has been driving us, to this big dream that we are already doing now.
What I'm hearing is that it's a process, right?
Yeah.
And I imagine that even at different junctures, there were critical decision points to make. Could you take us into maybe one of those decision points that probably took some time for you to even just figure out together? What led you to even take that leap of faith together?
Yeah, so finally, after 4 years of marriage, I decided to jump on the bandwagon with Gladys and go for this overseas impact project in Japan. We were offered to stay there for a year. And so I actually quit my job. And then 2 weeks after I quit my job, my son was born. And 6 months later, we found ourselves on an airplane to Japan. And we spent a year there building a community, reaching out to local Japanese families. We felt like there was some sort of gap over there in terms of like community for Japanese families. Because in Japan, I think there's a culture of the fathers always working. And even in the homes, it's just the mothers and the kids. And so there's a bit of a disconnect there. And so we wanted to bring something new for them to experience. What is it like to come together as wholesome families? So we use our skills in photography, event planning to come up with very fun weekend activities for Japanese families. So we had like picnics in the park, we had like photography programs, we had like journaling moments together. And so Gladys and I did this together with our then 6-month-old son. And it was a very, very wholesome experience. And it really showed us the importance of family. No matter where we are, in Japan, in Singapore, elsewhere in the world, the family unit is so important, and doing things together, gunning for the same purpose in life is what we are called to do.
Yeah. So that's a defining moment for him. And then when he came back, he's a complete changed man.
Tell us more about that, Gladys.
Well, I think honestly, I felt very relieved that there was a work that already was birthing in him, a desire to see wholesome families built wherever we go. And so I think slowly that alignment became closer and closer.
Yeah. So then when we came back at the start of 2023, we decided, okay, what's next? And so Gosh Kids was on the shelf then, because we flew to Japan, we left Gosh Kids behind. But when we came back, we found like we had a newfound purpose, one purpose that unites us both. And so we brought this purpose into Gosh Kids, and we wanted to reach out to the families in Singapore. And we tried different ways to do it, with overseas camps, with photography programs, with journaling moments. Yeah, experiences like that will bring families together.
I have actually a few questions, you know, coming up from that sharing that you had. But I'm hearing that when Maxine came along, y'all chose to include him in the picture, and just, you know, because this is going to be part of family culture. to actually connect with other families as a family. And I think that's something so powerful, right? Even as we hear you share, it would have been so much more so-called convenient or comfortable to just go the path of least resistance. But y'all have chose to really pursue what was placed upon your hearts and the passions that drive you collectively. And that would also shape what Maxine is exposed to when he was growing up. I'm curious to know, because we are hearing more of like the parts where y'all came to a sort of like a resolution or like a moment of like, but were there moments, you know, of really in disagreement or moments of like really, I really need some space to just calibrate this because this is really too much for me to even align with.
For sure. Yeah, I think amidst of whatever good things that happened during our time in Japan, I think it was also really difficult and it was a very trying time because we were first parents, then we were learning to be parents, but at the same time in a foreign country, and also learning the roots of how to raise a child in this foreign land without any help. So it was a very stressful time, but I think those stressful moments were needed to mold us to who we are today. And we could also, in that sense, relate with families more through our stories and being vulnerable with them, and also allowing them to understand that in every family, there is difficulties. And we found that those experiences were, as much as it was healing to them, it was also healing to us as we process it together with other families.
Well, yeah, it was definitely a very trying time. 1 year in Japan with no help, trying to figure out this whole fatherhood thing. One thing I'm glad that we didn't do is we didn't give up. That's for sure. Yeah. We could have given up. We could have, okay, let's say this is too tough. Let's go back to Singapore. And there was that option. But I think in everything in retrospect, you know, we thank God that we didn't do that, because then the story would not be written fully. And so after spending 1 year there, coming back, we had a newfound purpose. And of course, we still had to heal from some of the trauma that we had when we were there. But thankfully, we had a lot of friends and mentors who were with us, who journey with us. We also seek some therapy to help us process what we went through. And all this, I felt, was to prepare us for the bigger mission ahead, which is still GOSH Kids and the families.
Yeah, what I'm hearing you share as you reflect very openly, thank you for doing that, Matthew and Gladys, is that there is an open posture that the both of you took throughout the process. Openness to one another, openness to even the people around you who care, even though they may not be physically present with you all the time, but the openness to even reach out to share about the struggles you're faced, and also the openness to receive the kind of guidance or support that they would have extended to you. That actually is, to me, when I hear this, it also tells us that when couples dream together, and especially when it requires bold steps, courageous steps to actually go beyond what might be even seem as ordinary, right, day-to-day decisions, we are not doing this together as an individual couple, but you're actually surrounded by the people who also believe in you, the people who know you, and then they are also the ones who enable and empower you, right, to pursue those dreams. So in each podcast, we address a frequently asked question that couples have about marriage. And today's question comes from a wife who says, "My husband and I recently had a small disagreement while having dinner. I started talking about some long-term plans, things like when we hope to have kids, how I hope our lifestyle could look like in 5 years, and perhaps even how we'd like to design our future home. But he laughed and said, 'I don't even know what I want to eat for breakfast tomorrow. Why talk about 5 years later? Let's just live one day at a time, darling.' So I felt a bit shut down, and he later said that he felt pressured to plan so far ahead. Well, I know we love each other, but we are wired so differently. How can we still dream together while appreciating how the other is wired?"
I think for such cases, usually there are mismatched expectations of how to respond. In this case, I'm a wife and I also can relate to however you are feeling, my dear. The wife is usually more of a dreamer, I guess. And, you know, sometimes the husbands just need to know that that's how women are built. And we like to dream, we like to imagine, we like to talk about life. They want to hear what the most important men in their lives thinks about these whole big ideas that we have. Yeah, and it's just a fun topic to talk about, lah. But we are actually not really planning for it. Yeah, we just want to talk about it and we want to know how they feel. So when husbands respond in this way, I guess it makes me feel, or makes you feel, that they are dismissing us and dismissing our ideas. And it gives us the impression that, you know, our opinions and concerns don't really matter.
Yeah, so I also feel like, and I speak for the guys, sometimes men can be very too practical for their own good. And so sometimes we brush it off. Not that we discount or, you know, dismiss any of the opinions, but I think because men are just built in to be a bit more practical than women sometimes, you know, we respond to our wives unknowingly in that way. Because even from experience, you know, sometimes I respond to Gladys like that when she talks about the future and everything. And it sometimes could lead into an argument as well, and that's not good. But sometimes I also feel pressured to give a very good response. But perhaps I'm not ready at that point in time. So I just say funny stuff like, oh, I don't even know what I want to eat for breakfast tomorrow. But what I would do, and I encourage all husbands to think about it this way, is that I would first acknowledge her and how she's feeling, what she's talking about. Never give the impression of dismissing it by saying, oh, it's too early, don't talk too far. Don't do all that yet. You know, first acknowledge and recognize that what she's saying matters. And you can let her know that maybe now is not the right time to talk about it, because maybe you are currently not too stressed out at work, or you don't really have that headspace. And always come back to another time to come and talk about it. I think overall what I'm trying to say is that it's very important to have healthy communication habits, especially as husband and wife, knowing that we are built in very different ways. So how can we respond in the way that does not shut each other down?
Yeah, that's really precious insights. Thank you, Matthew and Gladys. And I really appreciate that you have chosen to share with us about your experience, the journey that you have taken and still taking together. This conversation actually reminds us that dreaming isn't just a one-time event, but truly a lifelong journey of opening up our hearts to one another, listening, adjusting, and growing together as one. Now, before you go, any words of encouragement that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I think I just have one thing to say. I really want to encourage everyone here to remember that life is really not about journeying it alone. I would encourage all of you to find a mentor for yourself personally, and basically a couple mentor for you and your husband to just talk life to and be accountable to them. I think at the end of the day, always remember that your partner's intentions are always good, and there's always a way of working things out and working things through.
Well, in each podcast, we end off with a couple challenge for couples to do with one another. And if you are listening to this podcast with your spouse, here's your challenge for this week. Spend 15 minutes sharing one personal dream and imagine together a shared dream that you hope to pursue together, maybe even within the year or the next 2 years. Then talk about one small step that you can take towards it. We really hope that you found today's episode helpful and encouraging. And as always, do share this podcast with a friend who might benefit from it. Thank you for listening, and remember to continually take the effort to make your marriage a safe haven for your spouse.